right.
If anybody's looking for their Bible, I probably stole it.
Did you put it in your back
pocket while you were... Okay. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 today. Hebrews chapter 11. I was thinking about the topic of how important one person's stand is. And thinking of that, I was just thinking about life in general. I think most people, you know, again, I don't like to generalize, but I will for the sake of today, that most people probably watch life than actually taking part in life, if you know what I mean. Most people, a lot of people tend to live vicariously, which is to live through somebody else than live their own lives. And I think that's probably a reason why movies are so popular, because people tend to live through what they're seeing, right? As opposed to maximizing their own potential in life. I don't think a lot of people, you know, maximize the potential of their lives. And I think that a lot of people probably think that their life as a one person could not have much impact in the world in which they live. All these thoughts that man has, and we have them, is because we don't... It's all based on not making decisions in life. It's all the decisions you've made in your life. I mean, I can choose to say, well, my life has little value, and I can decide that I want to believe that. It's something that I can say to myself. Or I can say, well, my life has value based on what the Word of God tells me about my life. Right? It's my choice, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith or by believing, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark, the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, God asked Noah to build an ark. He could have said no. He could have said, oh, that's silly. I don't even know what rain is, right? But he didn't. He said, okay, I'll do. And here, when we look at some of these verses, just note the words that God uses in the verses. Here it says the word fear or reverence, right? He did what God asked him to do with reverence. Noah was no different than you or me, right? There's no difference between him and me. He's a man. A man doing his regular daily jobs, taking care of his children, all the things that everybody does every day, and he chose to go with what God asked him to do. He said, okay, I'll build an ark. Now, I don't think anybody here in this room or anybody in the world who has any love for God whatsoever would doubt that the consequences of that decision were pretty far-reaching. Right? We're here today because Noah made a decision. Right? So you think the impact of his life, and now why would I not think that, well, how about us? How about you? How about your life? Do you think your life could have an impact, right? Do you think your stand could be worth something to God, right? Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1. That's not where I want to go. I'm in chapter, the wrong chapter. I'll blame that on having a somebody else's Bible. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, you know, he was 70-some years old, right? Like, I don't know, but when you're that age, your life, you're established. You have a house, family. He didn't necessarily have children, but he was established. You know, for God to say, just leave, drop everything, go, right, to a place, by the way, I'll tell you about after, right? He could have said no, right? It's not easy to make. I mean, we know we read it in one verse. Oh, that's really kind of cool. Isn't Abraham great? How wonderful he obeyed God. But what did he go through in order to make that decision? Right? It cost him something in his life. It was not easy, I'm sure, right, to do that. Yet verse 4. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of it, and he did what he did. Now, how about Abraham's life? You think Abraham's life has any impact on us today, right? Father of all them that believe, right? The father of Isaac, who would later Jesus, through whom Jesus Christ came, right? He made a decision. Abraham was no different, right? You know, one thing when we read these records in God's Word, you have to look at these people just like you look at yourself every day. It's not any easier for Abraham to say, yes, I'll do that, than it is for you to say, yes, I'll do what the Word of God says. It's not any different, right? It's exactly the same. They're men. They're women who have to make a decision every day, right? God said, Abraham, go, and he went, right? Noah, build it. Okay, and he built it. Right? You should never devalue the importance of your life and the stand that your life and the impact that it makes on this world, right? Only you and I, only I can diminish that by my decision saying, well, you know, what can I possibly do? What impact can I possibly have on life, right? You can have, you know, I've been reading, I was talking to Patrick and Grace last night about reading about Ben Franklin's life. You know, Ben Franklin was not really, okay, he was a believer, okay? He was Christian, went to the church, but he was not overtly a strong Christian, right? Not at all, right? Yet, the impact of his life on the world, I mean, I didn't realize the impact his life had on the world until I read about him a little bit, you know? But he's just one man. Why can't he or somebody else, you know, like, I don't know, you'd think of your favorite person that you like or read about or something. Why are they different than you or me, right? Because they choose to be, right? They make a choice. You know, I was reading about one thing I was telling you guys about last night. He was in London once watching a street sweeper sweep the streets. And, you know, out of this, watching this lady, and she was an older lady, wasn't even getting paid for it, really, he revolutionized the street sweeping industry in London. Why him? I mean, she had probably been doing it there for many, many years. Thousands of people probably saw her. So why did he? Because he chose to. He made the decision. Well, isn't that, you know, thought about it, made a decision, right? I think a lot of times, you know, believers, and, you know, I include myself, you know, do you ever get ideas in life? Do ideas ever come to you, right? Yeah, okay, we'll hold that thought for a sec. Hebrews chapter 11. Back to Hebrews 11, please. I want to talk about ideas in a minute here. But let's look at a couple more verses first. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That one verse. Do you know what it must have taken for Moses to turn his back on all the riches of Egypt? Right? He made a decision. He chose, says here in verse 25, choosing, right? He made the decision. That's his choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Right? You know, and all the things, you know, again, I think there's a little bit written about Moses in the Old Testament, right? Just a little bit that you could read about all the things, the Red Sea, the plagues, and all the things that he went through because he made a decision. One day he chose, and it wasn't an easy one. Didn't he say, well, God, I can't really, you know, he had a discussion. But he made the choice. And what do you think his life, you know, and let's be honest, during those times, it was him. There was nobody else, okay? Right? He had some help from Joshua and some men who loved him and all that. But for the most part, you know, and you read it when he wrote, there's records where he goes, okay, I've had enough, right? You know, I'm done, you know, and then comes back and he stands and takes a stand in his life. What about the impact of his life? One man, Moses, why was he any different? Because he chose. He made a decision. He said, okay, you know, I'll do that, you know. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let's look at Joshua 24. Joshua 24. And in verse 14, this is the, you know, the great call that Joshua made to the people of Israel later in his life when they had gone through, you know, they'd gone through quite a number of things, battles, and won a lot of battles. And the end of his life, or near the end, he says, now there, verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Which means that even after they had done all that, there were still some who were still serving other gods, right? It was still happening, right? Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day, right? Who makes the choice? You know, I think a lot of times, you know, we believers, we tend to think that, you know, things are just going to happen. And I think maybe Hollywood is in part and parcel responsible for that, right? For getting the thinking where, you know, things just come, you know, don't worry about it. Even in religious circles, they say, oh, all things work together for good. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine, right? That religious lie, right? I mean, they never read the context of those verses, right? You know, things just don't happen, right? What did he say? He didn't say, you know, eventually, you guys just hang out with me long enough, you'll stop serving the gods. No, he said, you choose. Make a decision, right? Obviously, Joshua had made the decision, right? Now he's telling the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, right, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he made the choice. You know, and then we read, you know, Jericho, the walls fell. All that didn't just happen. There was a man standing who had made a decision to serve God. Right? He had made the choice. His life meant something. Now, I don't think anybody would question Joshua's life, right? Well, is he any different from you? Right? How is Joshua different, right? Well, you could go down that line for a while, and after a while, when you read the New Testament, you would realize we have more. Right? So how is he different? He had less to work with. Right? Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. Right? He hadn't made all the redemption that was available. Right? All the righteousness, all that wasn't available to him, to Moses, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. That wasn't available. So if we want to compare, the comparison is still not going to prove any points we want to make about us not having enough, right, to do. Decisions. That's all they made. Men made decisions, right? You see it all the time. Judas chose to walk away from Jesus Christ. He didn't have to. He chose it. In Hebrews chapter 11, back to Hebrews for a sec. So they're asking you if you ever have ideas, you know. Well, I do. I mean, I have ideas all the time, you know. And, you know, sometimes, do you ever have thoughts about, I'd love to do this, right? or, you know, you get inspired. Wouldn't it be great if I could just, you know, one thing we have to understand is that, you know, as you're in God's Word, you know, as you speak in tongues, as you read God's Word, you have, we have a life form within us, which is called Christ in you, right? The hope of glory. A lot of the leadings, much of the leadings you get in life come from Christ. He is your life, right? He is the head. The life is supposed to flow from the head through the members of the body, right? And when you get those ideas and things that come at you, come your way, you know, and we all get, I'm sure we all get them, right? You know, as you're growing, you learn, well, you know, I'd love to do this, or wouldn't it be great? And then as soon as you get that idea, all your education, you know, all your fears and all your, well, I can't really do that, gets in the way of it, and the idea is squashed before it ever leads to fruition, right? Because we don't choose, we don't make the choice. If the Bible says God works in us to will and to do for our good pleasure, then either he does or he doesn't, right? And if he does, the leadings that come from the Spirit, you know, we should choose and say, yes, God, I'll do that. And then let him back up what he works in you. You know, and a lot of times it's us. Well, if I try that, well, I haven't got, you know, I'm not qualified. I haven't got enough funds, or how could I possibly do, you know, you get all those things that squash the working of the Spirit in our lives, right? And that's where we, you know, our five senses gets in the way, right? Or maybe it's based on previous experience. You know, well, I tried that once. It didn't really pan, you know, and then we keep just watching life, right? We watch others. We watch movies, you know. It's not living victoriously. It's living vicariously, right? You know, we watch others where the Word of God is clear. God works in us, right? So, if God, you know, God gives me ideas, or God, we ought to follow through with them, right? If we believe that God's Word, we shouldn't let our experience, our five senses, and all our education, which sometimes is gets in the way of life, to talk us out of what we know to be true from God's Word. You think Noah was qualified to build a boat? He didn't even know what it looked like, right? What's a boat? Abram, you know, you're going to be a father of a multitude. I don't even have a single child, right? Right, nothing. In Hebrews 11 again, right after the Jericho verse, it says in verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab, man, what a great study she is, right? You know, here she is. She's in the city of the enemy that is about to be destroyed. How difficult do you think it is for her to make a decision that I want to serve their God, right? That's what she did. She didn't let the pressures of the city and all things going on and influence her. She said, I choose your God, right? Result? Christ line? She's part of the Christ line, right? Isn't she? Right? And, you know, and complete protection for her whole family. You see how a single decision that you make in your life can have, you know, amazing consequences one way or the other, right? It can go both ways, right? You know, one thing, you know, I would hate when I'm, you know, 110, a little, or, you know, or whatever old, I would hate to say, gee, I sure wish I had, you know. Wouldn't it be great if I could have? I don't want to think that way. I don't want to be arrived there and say, well, back then I wish I had, right? If God works in me, if God works in you, it will and do of his good pleasure, right? Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? In 1 Samuel 17. Who knows what the impact of a decision that you make would be? First Samuel chapter 17, verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and slew his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Right. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Then his brother gets annoyed with him. Then down to verse 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David, a young man, makes a decision. He made a decision, right? And we know the rest of the record. We know what happened. And we know the impact of his decision, right? You know, and the thing with David, I want to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. See, we a lot of times we have ideas or things come our way, and a lot of times we're convinced to not act, to not do something, and many times that has to do with what I call false humility, right? I want to show you how David's humility was not a false humility, but there can be a false humility in life where you go, oh, who am I, you know, what can I possibly do? I don't have the ability, and all those kind of phrases, that's not humility. That's cowardice, right? That's fear. 1 Chronicles 17, I want to show you biblical humility in 17:16. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? This is after Nathan tells him that his son is going to be blessed and build a house for the Lord. Right? And David says, Who am I? It's not like, oh, who am I? What could I possibly do? His humility is, God, why would you bless me so much? Right? I mean, his humility is real. Look at verse 18. Yet this is a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee according to all that we have heard with our ears. Right? Man, that is biblical humility. Right? He didn't, you know, when David made the decision, and you read that record in 1 Samuel 17, you guys know the record of David and Goliath, right? Who is it that he honors through the whole record? God, right? You see, it wasn't this, oh, what can I do? I'm so weak. That's not humility. That's fear and cowardice, right? Humility is, God, you're great. You're wonderful. You tell me to do this, I'll do it. I know I can't. You know, I don't have the necessarily know what to do. That's fine, right? But God, you know what to do. And I know that, you know, when I look to you, I know you'll help me do this. And that's how you follow through with the leadings of the Spirit in your life. It's not a matter of, now that you get an idea, now you got to, first of all, we have to learn that the ideas that we get we have Christ in us, right? Christ works in us. And there's a working of the Spirit in your life. Ideas, impressions, things that come at you can come from the Spirit. Once we recognize those, they may seem like a little bit overwhelming. How can I possibly, well, if you didn't come up with the idea, It was God who worked it in you. You don't have to figure out how you're going to bring it to pass, right? That's going to come as well. Otherwise, you know, we cut it short with our five senses ability, and that's the end of it. And we wonder 5 years later, oh, gee, I wish I had. How come I didn't? You know, why was I so scared? What can I pot? You know, all those things that, you know, the woulda and coulda stuff that, you know, you wish you don't have to say. Well, how about following through and letting God continue to work in us to show us how to carry through with the you know, the callings of the Spirit and the things that we get inspired to do. Right? Certainly, David, you know, here he is. He's fighting this huge man with an armor. He's a guy with a slingshot, with a sling. You know, he said, the same God that rescued me from the bear, he will deliver me. You see, even the idea, he followed through with it, made the decision, but he knew that it was God who did it, right? In Acts chapter 9. Fear still continues to, you know, limit more people's ministries than anything else, right? Still does, right? All these people we're reading about, we have to understand that they weren't robots, right? There wasn't some guy with a, you know, Xbox controller controlling them through some false world, right? They made decisions based on what was happening in their lives. And secondly, their circumstances weren't always favorable, right? They weren't. They weren't like, you know, so, you know, I can't blame my circumstances. I can't, you know, they didn't. They were just like you and me, and they, the difference is, many times, they made the decision to act. Right? I'm going to do this. I don't know how this is going to turn out. You know, Abraham, not even knowing where he went. David, you know, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, look, even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow. They made the decision to take a stand, right, with reverence for God and recognizing that God would bring them through it, right? They weren't on their own. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, Paul is a great example of a man who made decisions, right? You know, here he is. He's doing his utmost to serve God to the best of what he knows, right? And when Jesus appears to him, his question of, what wilt thou have me to do, is not some false religious statement, you know, where, oh God, just lead me, I'll follow your will, whatever you want, just, I'm going to do it. No, there's just too much of that in the world. He said, what do you want me to do? Right. Did he follow through on what he was asked? Sure did. It wasn't, you know, God, you know, told me what to do today, and I'll follow your will, and, you know, I know you have purpose in my life, all that religious stuff. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus tells him, and then he does exactly that, right? He follows through. He made a decision, and now I don't think we can question the impact of that man's decision on our lives today. Everything that we hold to be true, written to us in this administration, came by the pen of Paul the Apostle, right? As he believed God to write it down, right? One man, just like me and you, a single guy, one person, right? Made a decision, right? What would you have me to do? Result? Well, Hebrews chapter 12. And we know that, you know, God had originally given the revelation to go to the Gentiles to Peter, right? We know that. So why did Paul get it, right? Because Peter didn't make the decision. Right? He didn't make the decision to continue. So God gave it to Paul. That's why the book of Acts shifts from the ministry of Peter, the first 8 chapters, to the ministry of Paul, the other 18 chapters or 20 chapters, right, whatever it is. Right. I can't do math that quickly. You know, so here you are, you have an opportunity. Here he had an opportunity to carry it out, and yet he didn't, to the ability that was given to him. And so God told Paul. Paul said, okay, did Paul carry it out? Yeah. You know, made the decision. In Hebrews chapter 12, we can't neglect the greatest example. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Even the word of God tells us to think about him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Right? God, it's God's way of saying, okay, what do you got to complain about? Right? That's my paraphrase, right? What are you complaining about? You didn't have to go through what my son went through, right? God says, consider him. He had to endure such contradiction, yet he still chose to die for you and for me. And now there's a decision we can't possibly, you know, question the value of, right? Did he make a decision? If he was God, it would have meant nothing, right? Yet he was a man, made a decision to die for you and me. And here we are today, right? You know, you think your life wasn't valuable. My goodness, your life is so valuable, yet the impact of it is up to you, right? I mean, I could sit here for the rest of my life and never do anything, and in God's eyes, my salvation is worth so much. It's worth the cost of his son for him to do that for me. Now, what I choose to do beyond that, right, it's up to me, right? I mean, God's not going to say, okay, I'm going to now control, you know, Raj through the, you know, this level 3 of world 4, whatever it is, right, and fight off the dragons, right? Right? I have to choose to make the decision to say, yes, I'll take the slings. I'll take the sling and the 5 rocks. I'll make the decision to say, yes, I want to. I choose that. That's my decision. The day by day, every day, you know, when God works in me, when God works in you to will and do his good pleasure, we have to choose, yes, Father, I'll follow through with that. I don't know how, right? But I'm going to trust this, and I want you to show me how to do that. And then take those thoughts, ideas, leadings of the Holy Spirit to fruition in your life, right? We'll close in Romans chapter 12. Romans. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, right? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because I guaranteed, if I don't do and put the word of God into my mind, I will be shaped by what the world wants me to think. It wants me to think that, you know, I can't have an impact. How can I possibly do anything? You know, the world has so destroyed the idea of responsibility. You have responsibility for your life. Prevalent thinking, everybody else is responsible for the way you behave. Yet the Word of God says, you control your mind, you renew your mind, you be transformed. See, if I don't put the Word of God on, I will be transformed by the Word. Right? The words of the world. Right? So God says, you think the word, don't be conformed to what the rest of the world's doing. You choose that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. See, none of these things listed here happen on their own account, right? None of them. And the whole thing starts off by God telling me, Raj, you renew your mind. You prove what my will is in your life. Then there's a whole section about the one who wants to get busy prophesying. The one who wants to minister, get busy ministering. Teaching, get busy teaching. You know, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheer, all these various functions of every member of the body of Christ, led by the head who works in each one of us to will and to do of, you know, God's good pleasure, right? Those leadings are of the Spirit. And God says, well, you know, you don't want to conform yourself to this world. Do my word and show what my will is in this world. And we do that by acting on what God works in us to do, right? So, you know, we choose, the decision is ours today, whether we're going to choose whether we're going to do what God works in us to do or we're just going to watch, right? It's up to us, right? You know, you got to recognize these people weren't robots. They made decisions. They chose every day to do what God worked in them to do. And, you know, they didn't always choose rightly either, right? Neither do we, right? Yet the whole point is we need to choose, right? I need to decide. God gives me an idea. You know, Rod says, this is a good idea. Now, I can sit there and talk myself out of it, and I know that I am a master at talking myself out of things, right? Because I know myself really well. I know exactly what to say to convince myself not to do something. And I can rationalize myself that that was the right decision, right? Because I'm very educated, right? And I'm really smart at talking myself out. It ain't so smart if I talk myself out of what God works in me to do, is it? Then it doesn't matter how much education I have or don't have. It's basically stupidity, right? You see God, some of the men God chose. I mean, what did David do? He was a shepherd, right? You know, it doesn't matter. God doesn't matter how much you know, how much you don't know, where you come from, where you don't come from. All he cares about is, do you reverence me? David was wealthy, wasn't he? Just a little bit, maybe. Solomon, maybe more wealth than anybody else on the face of the planet, right? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from. It all matters on, do you choose him, right? Do you choose him or not, right? And that's something every day. And then we have to recognize that those choices we make can have tremendous impact on the world. I mean, the Word of God is full of men and women whose decision to stand for him made a huge impact. And by huge impact, I don't necessarily mean millions won to the Lord or, you know, 50,000 inventions. I mean, your stand. Whatever that impact is, that's up to God. But the choice to stand is yours, right? And you let God work out the details of all that, right? So...